Welcome to the Real Triathlon Podcast. I'm your host, Garrick Lowen, here with Nicholas Chase and Jackson Lund. Welcome back, guys, to our weekly Saturday episode. This week, we are talking about, well, I'm not really sure prior, but we will be talking to our good friend, Taylor Reed.
Who that is, right? He's like a buddy of yours.
I think so. Yeah, I think I remember him. But Nick, what are we going to get into before that?
Yeah, so I think it's probably about time we talk about the frustrations that we're all having again, because I don't know. Maybe I was convincing myself that things were getting a little better and that the cases and like the governments and our just social atmosphere was going to evolve a little bit over the last couple of weeks. And then seems like this week, shit's kind of going downhill, like specifically concerning 70.3 Lubbock, which was like the golden child of, we're coming back, we're going to race, we're going to have an age group race in Lubbock, Texas. We're going to do social distancing. We've got protocols. And then specifically, I have two athletes who I coach who drove down there 8 hours, spent $700 on Airbnb, get there Tuesday midday. They got an email Tuesday morning saying how, oh, we're so pumped for this race to happen. And then boom, Tuesday night canceled. Like, and they were at Puerto Rico. And after they wrapped their bikes in Puerto Rico, also canceled. So they're kind of PO'd. No one's refunding any travel expenses, that's for sure. Anyways, we're going to talk about that stuff, where we are is like athletes and as a climate and other news. What other two races just got canceled, fellas?
We got Boulder and
Traverse City.
So we're waiting for Chatty to fall next, aren't we?
Yeah, or Muncie.
And so that's August done. Yeah. No, we're really banking on something fun stuff in August. So I don't know. I don't think she's going to happen. Even in St. George or in Utah, they're talking about kind of shutting stuff down a bit more than they had because the cases are just going up. But we know why, because they're testing, right? They're just testing more.
Yeah.
How has it been affecting you, fellas?
Oh, Jesus. How do you start? Well, definitely a bit of a different scenario here in Canada, I would say, because there was like a pretty hard shutdown for quite a while. And then they've kind of been doing this phase one, phase two, phase three thing in Ontario for opening up. So really it's overall been still kind of getting better just in terms of what we're able to do, but it's been so slow, which has kept our case numbers low thus far and still decreasing. But again, things are opening up and the numbers are going to go up again. They're testing more. And I just hope that this, you know, a little bit better communication is given from our governments that, hey, you know what, cases are going up, but this is what we're measuring. We're measuring, you know, hospital capacities, we're measuring fatalities, we're measuring serious illnesses and those things, you know, what is our capacity for that? Because ultimately we're never going to keep it at zero. And it's a lot of politics involved, like with that Lubbock race, you know, the governor shut it down like couple days before. That's not Ironman's fault. That's not the race.
We don't know though. I kind of was trying to pull some of my pals who work at Ironman, and I'm sure they can't say anything, but it seems like they should be doing a better job at making sure these governments are like, if they're going to give a green light and expect people to show up, they freaking better just deal with the backlash and have the race. Like Lubbock probably could have happened social distance wise and been okay. But I think it's like the media and the shamers and the people who are just like up in arms about getting back to normal. But at the same time, people are like partying on the beach and rioting, and they're doing all kinds of probably inappropriate things with social distancing not in mind. So it's a tough balance. Like, we obviously are speaking to a population that probably is a little bit more engaged and maybe cares more because we have a lot to do with groups and gatherings. You know, people who are just going to concerts aren't like, well, I'm super bummed Taylor Swift is not going to happen. I'm going to be super pissed. Like, it's just no big deal.
But for that.
Yeah, I know. Oh, man. Actually, we did have a Taylor Swift concert to go to. It got canceled. It was in Compton. So we're super bummed about it. But it's not like a race. It's a race. Like, we're going to go to a race because we've been planning for months and months and we're putting energy. So when those things get canceled like that, it's just a big shitter. So what about local stuff? Are you guys getting local events fired back up?
Man, we had kind of like a not real event that we had. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but last weekend we organized a little event where we dropped some buoys in the water, made an arbitrary distance that was 4 laps for the swim. Anybody can show up from 7:30 to 11, do the swim course. And then we had a 4-lap bike course. That was 43K. And then we did a 4-lap run, 10K. And all the segments up on Strava. And then Bellofix gave away some prizes. It was pretty fun.
How many people showed up for that?
We got about a dozen.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really last minute. So we were pretty, you know, stoked with the turnout for 12 people. It was pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's more grassroots.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way that it's got to be now, because everything's got to be under the radar. No insurance, no like official anything. It's just like, that's the only way to do it, because none of these government agencies like Triathlon Ontario, Triathlon Canada are going to insure it. They're not going to back it. And there might be like a draft legal series kind of thing for pros only coming around this area. I don't want to say for sure or anything, because it's not my event, but that's like the way that it's going to have to be. And I mean, I don't know. It's tough. Like what you mentioned, Nick, where you said like, it's not like missing a concert or something. And I think the difference is like triathlon and, you know, endurance sports in general is it's really a lifestyle, and like people, you know, really turn their lives around to do these events. Like this inspires people to get out of bed in the morning and go and improve themselves. And like, it's so hard to explain that and to like really understand that if you're not a part of it. And, you know, a lot of, I think governments are seeing recreation as like one of the last things. They're like, oh, that's just for fun. Like they're putting it in the same boat as like a concert or whatever. And it's really not the same thing. Like, I don't think somebody's going to argue that their mental health suffered because they went to no concerts instead of one this year. But triathletes are like, it's an existential crisis, whether you're a pro or an age group athlete. And, you know, getting back to training and the kind of the fun parts of just doing the sport has been great. But at the same time, it's been a while, and I think people are starting to be ready to see the next race.
Yeah, I cannot agree with you more, because I've been like riding high, been like, oh, I'm so glad that we're in this circumstance where I can work on my fitness all the time. I could just keep peaking and peaking and peaking, as to normally in the season, I'm like peaking for a minute and then I lose fitness for taper, then I race, then I try to recover. And so we're in this constant sine wave during the race season, but now we're able to train, rest, and just add more fitness. So like, I was super pumped on that for, I don't know, since a month, I guess. I got a little bit less pumped when, you know, I had super FOMO on the old Zwift stuff, but ultimately you create your own atmosphere of, you know, challenges. So at least we've been able to live vicariously through Mr. Jack over there, and he's been absolutely slaying it. So that's awesome. That, I mean, I'm happy to see the people who are in the sport who've worked hard to get where they are being taken care of. And that's really what we need, right? Like, if you guys were all suffering and unable to do it, that would be pretty bad for everyone else. Like, it'd be terrible. Might as well sell all my bikes.
Yeah. Jack has been pumping it. But let's talk about kind of, I know I've seen a lot of your training, Nick. You seem to be doing a lot. Talk about peaking. You've been climbing a lot.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of long rides. How do you guys find that your training has kind of adapted at this point of the year compared to it would usually be?
Oh, man. Well, I know Jack is probably just going from week to week to Zwift race to Zwift race, and everything else is probably a little bit more accessory to those, since, you know, that's where you're going to make a little bit of money. But for me, I guess I've been trying to, it's been 105 degrees here in St. George after about 1 p.m. So trying to get up at higher altitude, really, that's why I've been climbing so much. And I guess I've been like, I've turned into like a cut and paste bicycle salesman all of a sudden. Like I just got so bored over the last couple of months. I'd be like, okay, well, I'm going to sell this. I'm going to change these group sets to that. I'm going to get this new frame. Factor just dropped this new frame, so I'm going to sell this one. So I've just been, you know, tinkering around with bikes and training wise, I guess I've been, it's like, do what you feel Friday every day. Like I want to go do a 6 hour rip with my pals tomorrow, which is what we're doing. That's what we're going to do. If I want to go base jumping on Saturday, we'll do that too. All kinds of dumb stuff. But what about you, Garrick? What have you been able to put together over in beautiful Windsor?
Yeah, you know, down in the deep south of Canada. I don't know, man. Most days, you know, I kind of keep it structured. I've been doing a lot more speed on the run, like once a week, being doing short stuff on the track, which is something I would just never do this time of year. And then the bike, we're kind of dialed back intensity, so we're only working out hard twice a week, one long run. But I can't say I've been doing anything super long or super intense at any time. Yeah. I mean, we do some hard stuff, but, you know, yeah, like you said, sometimes, you know, coach puts, I don't know, a 2 hour long run on the schedule and with like 3x20 minutes tempo. This is an example. He hasn't, but I'll just be like, oh, well, maybe I'll do this instead sometimes, you know, and as long as I'm getting the hours in, like I'm pretty fine with it. And there's just no pressure, I guess. You don't feel that pressure from training, you know, like when you're getting ready for a race, you're overanalyzing every time you swim in the pool, all the paces you run, and all the power you push on the bike. And now it's just like, well, I don't really need to ever test my fitness. Like I'm not going to be racing to test it. So I'm not as stressed about it. So I guess kind of a lot more laid back.
Coaches in general too, I think have been adapting, but I've spoken to a couple athletes where their coaches are still trying to like make them do time trials and work on real specific stuff. And a lot of the ITU type coaches, and we're like, I don't know, as a coach in my head, I'm like, if the athlete doesn't want to do it right now and they're not finding joy from doing 1500 time trial in the pool, like just back off for a month and let them come back to it when they feel like it. That's like, I've been using Jack's races just to feel like, holy shit, I should probably keep working hard. Like those guys are still ripping some huge watts. And then I go out and try to do my King of the Mountain attempt on Snow Canyon and that went to shit. So I'm going to, that's all I can do right now is focus on those stupid little goals, but those stupid little goals really keep you focused on something else. But I don't know. Yeah. I'm interested to see how everyone comes out of this, especially what pros are still racing and traveling. What is your top thing you want to do that you haven't been able to do on a consistent basis?
Race? Aside from the obvious, you mean?
I think like, yeah, like you guys said, I mean, I've obviously been basing my weeks around these Zwift races twice a week and in a row, and then kind of just like loading the week up after that and then like recovering for a couple of days before them. It's been a little bit different. And yeah, I've done the same thing where like, I'm like, oh, this run's supposed to be hard. Like sometimes I won't even look at the Training Peaks. Like yesterday after the race, I just met up with Cody and we're like, oh, let's run, you know, how you feeling? Oh, let's go do hills. And then we like made it up as we went. We did five times like a 35 second hill, five times a 65 second hill. And it's been kind of nice to not have that pressure, where also if I felt terrible, I might have just been like, yeah, I'll just run easy. I'll do a little bit of steady or something. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm most looking forward to obviously racing, but once, you know, all the Zwift stuff is like, when there's no more opportunities for e-racing, I'm probably just going to look forward to not riding the trainer. I mean, I like the trainer, but like, I feel weird. I'm only riding outside like once a week right now. It's like so strange for this time of year. But it's different. It works. I got that new Saris H3 trainer, which is an awesome trainer. Recommend it. Not sponsored or anything. It's just a good trainer. But yeah, the other thing is this E-Series stuff, like they might do more. Like I'm hoping they have another series for July or something, because there's no races and they know it. And there's this market here of athletes who want to watch other pro athletes race each other. So maybe there'll be more opportunities and I'll just keep going with this for a bit, because it really does give me something positive in my week. Like, oh, you know what? I'm improving my bike. I'm working really hard. I've got a chance to take home a little bit of cash, and it's kind of some semblance of like a normal triathlon career at least.
So for most of our athletes who are listening, and maybe they aren't pros or maybe they haven't been in the sport long, like I don't know, the best advice I can give for anyone really struggling right now, because that's been a big trend, right? Like, well, what the hell am I even gonna, why would I wake up and go ride 3 hours and run off the bike for 45 minutes on a Saturday when I could spend time with my kids, when I don't have a race and at all for sure in the next 6 months? Like, I think the argument should be, and I think we've mentioned this before, but it should be a transition from a goal race to just like a totally healthy lifestyle. And you can back off the intensity and avoid injury and focus on things you haven't, like going to yoga or doing home yoga, doing yoga with your wife or kids. There's just tons of little things you can do to focus on why you should train. Cause I don't know, for me, like I've kind of evolved through this process where initially I was like, I don't think, I just love the training. I love the grind. But now after I've been 3 months of doing Epic Fridays and Everesting and trying to just thrash myself, I am ready for a race. So a lot of those people, I can relate to them. But I did have a local triathlon last weekend too, same as Garrick. It was called the Doughboy Triathlon, which is super official. And basically we all just hung out, and then they were like, all right, well, yeah, you guys could probably start right now if you want. So all right, let's start. So we started, we had our 1500 meter or yard swim, bike was great. And then it was nice to push. And even if it was just me and two others, like I haven't been pushing race efforts that often in the water. So it was nice to just open her up and then feel how much fitness I've lost. It's just gone total shit. But that's, you know, that's why you got to love it. Cause you're not getting the results, and if you're not killing yourself and seeing progress, you've got to find something else to make yourself focus. And for me, I just look forward to coffee in the morning and then a training session. That's like, go to sleep early, looking forward to that. Jack, I'm sure it's not the same for you, but that's okay.
I haven't been, honestly, like as great as I've loved these E-Series racing, Zwift series, whatever they're all called. It's hard. It's like hard to sleep well those nights because you still have a race. So imagine having a race twice a week. Like you never sleep well the night before a race, and then you have that 2 out of 7 nights. So it's like kind of tough to actually.
Well, you're focused on weight now.
Well, no, I have pretty locked in, to be honest. Like I'm not, it's not actually difficult. I just do my run. I weigh in. Like I don't actually try to lose weight. I haven't lost any weight. I've been the same weight this whole time. So
yeah,
we talked about that obviously with Jocelyn, and like, I have not tried to manipulate my calories at all. And I've been really strict to that. Because also like, it's more important to just feel strong than it is to be 1 kilogram lighter. Like,
yeah,
way more important. So
have you noticed
the whole series I was the lightest? Was that one the day I weighed in for 65, I was terrible the next day, probably because I didn't cool myself enough. But there's not like dropping that extra kilogram really helped me.
Well, yeah, I was gonna ask if you'd noticed, because you're all uploading Z Power stuff and you can see everyone's, you know, data. Have you noticed weight changes through any riders like that are dropping weight on purpose?
Yeah, interestingly, there's like a few of us that like obviously do it every week. Like we're a couple kilograms lighter than we were when we were just doing the fun series last month, but a lot of dudes aren't. It's surprising. Like, I don't know why. I'm not going to give them any tips. I'm not going to tell them they should, because it's,
yeah, I get it.
It's mostly the dudes, honestly, a lot of the dudes who are like at the top anyway, and it doesn't seem to be changing the results much. They're weighing the same. So, or maybe, or either that, or they were cutting down before and they're just still cutting down. So I don't really know, but.
Well, imagine having to wake up at 3 a.m. and do this. Would you still want to race like the Kiwis are doing?
That's terrible. I don't even, I probably just wouldn't go to bed. That would be my nighttime workout. And then I'd go to bed.
Yeah, that's what Lionel did. Remember way back when he beat all those pros?
Yeah.
In the classic race.
Oh, yeah. Was that like 2 a.m. or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, like 2 or 3. And he's like, well, I'll just stay up. I mean, not that he goes to bed at, you know, early anyways, but.
So I think we've pretty much nailed that we really want races to start.
True that.
I mean, the only other kind of thing I think we should touch on is like, how are we financially, like we're pros, right? What are we doing? Like, I mean, Garrick has other income. Nick has a lot of income from coaching and stuff. And, you know, I'm probably the one who's most dependent on triathlon income out of the three of us. Fortunately, I had that one race early in the year. I did well. I had the PTO bonus. And then, you know, this e-racing something, like I can keep a little bit of money trickling in. But there's no question that this year is not going to be my best for trying to keep the old bank account topped up. What are you guys doing like with that? Are you just kind of accepting that, yeah, you're not going to make anything from racing this year?
Well, I don't know. I think the good news is we've got sponsors who still paid contracts. Like any of my contracts, I mean, we're probably missing out personally based on the past few years. I'm missing out in maybe 15 or 20,000 extra in bonuses. So that's really the biggest hit. But I would say since I'm a small business owner, there's a small business loan program that they offered, and they, you know, basically offered me that same amount in like a really like low percent 30-year loan. So it's awesome. Like there's been, for me, I've just kind of diversified. I have like four different jobs and hustles or whatever outside of triathlon that are all related to it that I just have been able to keep her going, luckily. But you just can't rely on prize money alone. Obviously, no pros really are. It's all endorsements and maybe virtual series, but you know, that's just kind of how it goes. But I haven't been super upset. It's just been a little bit of a stress. Like, well, what if all my athletes just don't want to race anymore? They're done. I'm like, oh, there goes some of my goodness, but that's okay if they do. I don't blame them. What about you, Gear Bear?
Yeah, I think if I was relying on prize money and podium bonuses, I wouldn't be really doing too hot any year. But yeah, like obviously I have a job and I got some money coming in, but I also, all my sponsors that are paying me contracts and salaries are still paying me because a lot of it is based on just social media and stuff like that. So that's obviously still rolling. So I would say I haven't really taken much of a hit unless this year I was going to be making tons of dough from, you know, winning races or something. But
you mean you were going to, and now it's just terrible. And it's
not. Yeah. Bad. Yeah. Like I was planning on making, I don't know, how much money does Iron Man have in North America? Total prize money, whatever that is. I was planning on making that.
Yeah. You can earn it. Yeah. Taylor just signed on. Good time for Taylor to be here. Can you hear us, buddy? Nope. All we can see is his,
there you my go. Forehead. Taylor. There we go. Yeah.
Hey, good timing to hop on.
You can hear me? Yeah. Race cut, baby.
Nice. Yeah. Look at that hair. Sexy. Cool.
I'm trying to get to Nick's where he had the, I don't know what you'd call it, but like the Viking ponytail thing.
Don't do it.
Why not? Biggest,
looking back at those pictures, I'm like, oh, that was a terrible idea.
Well, I reckon this to myself.
No, it was cool for like a little while, but now I'm like, maybe a tiny little bun on the back of my head wasn't the way to show my depth of personality. Yeah. But
keep the 2 foot mohawk.
I think it looks good on you though. Honestly, like I think you had like the faux hawk in the undercut before I did, and I was like, I'm gonna try Taylor's
method. Give it a shot.
Yeah. Girl, I went for it, man. But I think I just you pull it off, and I just
I have a longer face, I have a sharper face.
Yeah, you've got the Viking gene.
The Viking genes.
So Taylor, we're talking about how as pro athletes right now, we may or may not be losing or gaining income given the climate of lack of racing and maybe sponsors are, you know, not paying bonuses, obviously. So have you, since Jackson and Garrick and myself just finished our answer, have you been, you know, impacted heavily by the lack of racing, or have you been pretty steady?
Yeah, like I actually got pretty lucky in that I signed a couple of bigger contracts at the beginning of this year that I've been working on for like 3 years. But I did lose out like a couple that were right on the bubble. And it was literally they were ready to sign the week before COVID dropped. And then COVID became real and they never got back to me. So I lost a few thousand. And obviously, like racing's like almost, if not a quarter, more than a quarter of like most of our income. It's obviously a little bit question marky. And then if you actually add in the bonuses that we get, it's at least half of our income. So
yeah,
it's been a hit. Yeah. But overall, like we're actually doing pretty well. Like my girlfriend, her business was impacted, but not too heavily because she basically works from home anyway. So we haven't had a huge hit, and it's sort of neat because I'm sure a lot of the guys sort of understand it, but we actually are almost insulated from this kind of effect because we're built to sort of have an injury. Like we need to say we have sort of backup funds. At least that's sort of the way we looked at it. We're like, well, it sucks that we have to cut into like what we would call our injury fund if we got injured, but we're almost like built for an extended period of time without getting paid because we don't get paid as, it's not like we get a monthly paycheck. It's like we get paid randomly when we make money. Yeah. So that was sort of okay.
I think we've just been eating a lot of SpaghettiOs and ramen just to cut down on cost. Jackson's exactly, been eating just liters just of
first,
ice cream.
First endurance. Just first endurance. That's all he's eating. He gets it for free.
Oxygen all day.
Oxygen, yeah.
But yeah, we also kind of talked about how we've like, you know, gotten different things to focus on and races as races aren't happening. And Taylor just did some pretty cool stuff because, I mean, I'll let him explain it, but I think Taylor looked at this as an opportunity to improve what kind of became like a bit of a blind spot for him in the last couple of years where he kind of lost some steam on the bike. So tell us about what you did there, Taylor, for your bike fitness.
Yeah. So basically when this whole thing came out, me and my coach Craig sat down and I was like, okay, like if we look at my whole career picture, I've been a very good runner always. Like that was where I started the career. And then we've been working on the swim for like 5-10 years, trying to get better. But all of a sudden there was this hole of the bike was missing. Like I used to be a really, really top biker in the field. And then all of a sudden I'm now like, that's actually where my weakness is. So we sat down and we're like, okay, like let's look at it in different ways. Like we're going to try training you at like higher intensity, but less volume. And then we did a power test. Okay. We improved a little bit. And then we sat down and like, hey, let's actually try training high volume, less intensity. We did a power test. We improved even more. So we're really trying to experiment to see what works, and having those little like targets of the power test have been huge because it just gives me, instead of a race focus, I wasn't good at the virtual racing, so that was crossed off. I don't know why, but I'm too small.
Well, tell me about the virtual racing. How was that for you, like when you started to do the Zwift series or when you started to do the VR Ironman stuff? How was that?
Like I just can't honestly say I gave 100% for any of the Zwift races. I was always a little bit too timid at the start because I was like worried that I was going to blow up later on. So that was a huge hurdle to get over. And then I don't know, Ironman VR, I just got like kicked in the nuts, like hard. Like I was against some good riders, but I was like, what happened? I don't lose 6 minutes in a 40K TT on these guys. Like that, I would lose 5 minutes in maybe a 90K. So that was a big shocker. So I just found either I can't wrap my head around like it being a race because I'm not moving, or I don't know, my physics don't work. Like I'm just super tiny when it comes to aero and it just doesn't translate.
It's funny. Vouch for that. Yeah. It's funny how like your numbers, like your indoor numbers, like nothing seems bad. Like you're a lighter guy. You put out good numbers, but it just like never translates. I never understood like what happened to you online.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. Taylor's like a gnome going online. Yeah. Thank God we don't mess on our career.
Well, that's what Peter Sagan said. He said, I'm not an e-racer. I'm a real racer.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong. Good stuff. It's been sweet watching Jackson.
20 minute power by like a lot, right? You improved your 20 minute power by like a ton. I don't even know what the number was.
Yeah. If we actually go back to like before 2020, I was at 310, let's say. I think on a road bike, I had hit 320, but on an actual TC bike, I'd done 310. And essentially in a 6 month window, we stepped that up by 28 watts, which is probably pretty unheard of in most scenarios. Like, so
gnarly.
Like that was, we did that one a couple of days ago in Jackson's garage. Thank you, Jackson. With huge fans. And like even from like this 6 week window, we improved by 15 watts. And it's like we're holding better TT. We've been tinkering with my position a lot too. Like I've just found this time. I'm like, well, I may as well move this 1 millimeter or centimeter forward. Oh, that doesn't feel right. Okay, move it back. So we've been messing around a lot because we got time.
What types of sessions do you think added more value? Like mentally, was it a mental barrier, you think, or was it just the physical nature of the sessions you were doing that didn't add up?
I think it was more physical, to be honest. Like I've had some hiccups with the mental stuff and we've been doing sports psych, but that didn't seem to really change. It was more like we've been doing heavy weights, which I was really surprised actually did help. And then we've actually been, it's sort of just like we hit two hard workouts a week on the bike where it's like you go do your sort of 5 to 8 minute intervals, take a day easy, go do super, super short sprints, like 15 seconds. And then we go do a long ride and do some longer intervals, let's say. And we've just been messing around with that. Me and Jackson and Cody have been trying to line up so that we actually get like training partners, stuff like that. And we've actually backed off the running. So we're only running hard once a week and then like a long run. And we're going to go do a 5K in like 6 hours to see how my running is.
Oh, okay.
I go crush my run, then I'm sort of like, this is my training for the rest of my career.
For the other side of the fence, I'm going to have the GoPro. I'm going to be like running sideways, trying to get some shots.
It's going to be like five people filming. It's going to be great.
Well, it's the most exciting thing that's happened. Like there is basically a 5K track race going on 2 kilometers from my house. I can walk to. Like, how cool is that? Like, I'm so beyond stoked for like this if this was like a normal race year where we race all the time.
We didn't race. We'd be like, oh, whatever. That's cool. Like, maybe I'll pop over for the last kilometer. Good luck. Yeah.
Yeah. Do us a favor and put it on our YouTube channel, which we're starting to populate more with some light videos of our lifestyles and just some of our guests' lifestyles. I think that'd be sweet to put that on our channel. So, Jack.
Yeah. We've got a ton of stuff from our camping trip too, like up at Jackson's cottage. So that'd be sweet.
Yeah.
So we got some good footage there.
I'll get a bunch of footage of the 5K and try to compile it and we'll put it together.
Yeah.
So basically
1440.
Yeah. Oh, that's the plan. We're going out hot. We're starting at 70s per lap and we're not stopping until we die.
are you going to have any rabbits?
Yeah. We've actually got at least two dudes who are within that window. So Liam and then another junior named Tristan. So that'll be really good. So we'll have at least a group of three who are going for like a hard sub 15. And then we'll have two other dudes who are just like going to go for that sort of, say, 14:55 window, which is still damn fast. And then we'll two juniors running a 3K, but trying to basically hang on to us. Yeah. So we'll have like a bubble of about seven guys that could be able to run that.
Yeah. So you can fake it for a good mile and a half at those paces and then it's going to be just all it's gonna freaking be real. Yeah. Gusto.
Well, like I'm excited because I ran a 3K for that virtual race in like 8:47 or something on the roads. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, like we've got the leg speed, even though we haven't been training it. I just got to run that and then keep running.
Well, and you know, chug a Red Bull or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's not going to be going to sleep tonight.
Shotgun. And I'm not going to sleep. No way.
Ultimate like incentive is, I believe Taylor is taking like 10 days easy after this. Is that right?
Yeah. So there's nothing just, like, going
go
on
for it. And party.
Yeah. Basically I'm going to go, I don't know yet. Like it probably won't be McDonald's, but we're going fast food. I think A&W might win that one.
Oh A&W. Yeah. Ooh, get a root beer, man.
Oh yes. Yes.
Root beer. Oh, yeah.
A half squished cheeseburger. Those are the best.
Oh, so good. Maybe I'll do the dirty double where you go to A&W and then KFC the same night. That's delicious. Heart attack in a basket.
So we kind of been chatting before you jumped on here, Taylor, about like COVID stuff and things trying to open up, and we kind of beat that one down pretty hard. But like one thing that we talked about with you so far is you're like improving your bike. Now, what I really wanted to ask you about, like as a pro and as a pro who's been in the sport for years, is like, how have you brought yourself out of kind of what was a slump year or year and a half when it kind of, I guess a little bit of background, like 2017, when I first started 70.3s, I raced Taylor first race at 70.3 Puerto Rico. He crushes the race, wins, beats.
He wins.
And he pops. Yes. Just absolutely crazy good. Had a couple more good races. And then that year he got injured, things kind of petered off a bit. And then 2018 was a bit of an off year. And you've been kind of really coming back since then. So like how'd that whole thing go? And like, what have you learned from that? Like, just give us some background.
Yeah. There was a lot of changes like in that sort of 17, 18 window. But like the big thing that sort of went down, so it was like obviously went out with a huge bang, winning Puerto Rico in beginning of 17. And then I was doing really well, like a couple podiums, all top fives. And then I got an injury from like sort of patellofemoral. I've like had that come back every once in a while, but this one was like a 2 or 3 week window. And we had to, we also changed like bikes. So we had to tweak the bikes. There's all this little moving parts that really like slowed everything down. And I finally like, it just, yeah. And then I switched coaches. So there's all this stuff and over like all these little things started adding up to being like mentally thinking like, oh, you can't win. Like very sort of this almost not exactly negative space, but it was not exactly the positive mindset that I was really used to. So that was a really big hurdle to get through. And like, just nothing really seemed to go right until finally I like sat down, I went and raced Super League and just said, I don't care. I just want to race and have fun. And I stepped back from like the idea of it being like a business and just actually, I got annihilated. Like I was like last, but I had so much fun racing like the top dudes that I just came back and then was able to finally start finding my groove again. And just also I always came from a coach, Paulo Souza, who was very hands-on and like, you basically do what I say. If you do anything that I don't tell you to do, like, I don't want to hear
it. You're fired.
Like, yeah, you're fired. Basically, do your job, BYJ. To Craig, that I tried to bring that mentality of like, oh, he just tells me what to do. But it just didn't work. So I started stepping in and saying like, okay, this is what I think works. Like, this is what I did with Paulo. This is what we're doing. And I think we're doing it right. And I basically mashed them together. And that gave me a little bit more confidence. And I was just in control, I felt like. And on top of that, we went to sports psych. So my girlfriend was really good. She was like semi-psychoanalyzing me and was finally like, okay, go see someone.
That's
like,
always very fun.
That's always great. But it really
helped. Here's all your problems.
Like, yeah, here's all your problems. Now fix them and go do the dishes.
Yeah, and I love you. Good night. Yeah, you're on the couch.
Yeah. Yeah, and just like that sort of jump. And then if I remember, like, it took like 2 years of essentially racing. Like, I didn't even take a break. It's basically I raced in December of 18 and then raced in January of 19 and then just kept racing until December of 19. So I sort of COVID gave me a break too.
Yeah, dude, you were trying to race your way back into the spotlight there pretty hard.
Basically, yeah.
And like, well, you and me like, both.
Yeah, you got to race sometimes just as many. Like, we were up to, I want to say last year we raced like 15 or 18 times. Yeah. Like, it was disgusting.
I can relate. 2019, I showed up for 4 Ironmans. I had to DNF 1.5 of them. And I think I did like 7 or 8 halves. It's just stupid. Yeah. I'm so happy you're racing a little less.
Yeah, you got your podium though, right?
That was the end of last year, finally. Yeah. That was after Utah, man. Utah did that for me.
Yeah, exactly. Got to get the altitude and be like, cool. Well, yeah, and like my September in 2019 was insane. So I actually picked up a small job, like part-time in sales. And that also gave me a little bit of a boost of feeling financially secure. So all of a sudden, I wasn't going to race as being like, oh, I need to make money. I just need to basically perform. So I was racing instead of for money, I was racing for myself. So that also helped a lot. But essentially I was working. So I went and raced Traverse City on August, like last weekend in August, came second, ran like my fastest run, just got beat by, Matt Hansen. Yeah. By like 15 seconds. That was gutter. That hurt so much. But then I got on a plane. 6 days later, racing 6 days later in China, came third again by like 30 seconds to, I think that was Kevin Cullington, flew home, worked for 2 weeks, turned around, flew back to China, raced a duathlon because there was no swim, came fourth by like 30 seconds, turned around, came home, 7 days later, raced Barrelman and won. So that was a little bit nuts.
Holy shit, dude. That's a gnarly schedule.
Yeah.
Will you do another full, Taylor?
Definitely not this year, just because if I'm going to race, I know my best money-making opportunities are 70.3 in 2021, probably. Again, I've got to pick this right time where I've got enough time to train for it, feel secure, and then like go crush it kind of deal. I think I was talking to Starkey, actually. It was a really nice conversation, and we were just chatting. I'm like, dude, what do you think? Like, you're a veteran of the Ironman. And he's like, man, like, if you're not going for Kona, pick a race that's not got a lot of like Kona slots that's good for your like hilly, basically.
Yeah, ability.
Hills. Yeah, exactly. Mobility. Don't look at like the championship races because everyone's going to be like revving to go. Go in like cut your teeth on a bit of a smaller one. And I was like, yeah, that's actually pretty smart. So I can't remember which one. I think we were looking at like Tulsa or something until all the stuff went sideways.
Yeah. What race would you like to do next outside of everything being canceled again?
Yeah. Like the one that's like the most favorite that I'm super upset about is probably Tremblant. Like I just can't get past that one, but I'm really excited about Daytona. Even if I don't get to race it, it's going to be an epic race if it happens, no matter what. Like 100 kilometers, like super short, sort of that three and a half hour window, and just like on the speedway. Like I've been there a couple times, so it's pretty epic when it comes down to it. And like the dudes, like they care because well, the guy is basically on the board for NASCAR Daytona, so he can basically be like, if we want to put the big screen on $300,000, just write it off, man, no problem. So like, yeah, he's the one only director like who I've actually sat down and he's like, tell me, like, don't worry about the money cost, just tell me how to make it better, and like I'll worry about the money. So it's like,
that's pretty awesome. Cool that way. Yeah. You never get that with Ironman. So challenge, like I've always experienced that with challenge. They're like more approachable. They ask for more input and they seem to be more like the people's event rather than just like a slam in your face corporate entity. That's like, we don't know. You'll never know who we are. We're faceless.
Yeah. It's like, whoa. Yeah. But in Iron Man's defense, they have done some cool stuff so far. Like the virtual racing, at least paying some pros. That's pretty nice. I know it hasn't gotten to everyone, which is bullshit. But and then I think with the sale, like, have you guys talked about them being sold?
What happened with that?
I don't know if it's gone through, but like I was doing some research just because I was bored, and the people who were supposed to buy them are actually a media company. So like they own Discovery. So that could be really cool. I don't know if that means it'll change at all, but if they're media focused, it might be good.
Well, we kind of hoped that that would work with Wanda, since Wanda's like the biggest Chinese media company ever, but that clearly didn't translate.
Work at all.
So, we can't even get helicopters on course. What the hell?
Yeah.
What's up with that? I mean, if the Tour de France can be absolutely riveting to watch for 3 weeks straight, 7 hours a day, like I should be able to watch an Ironman for 8 to 9 hours. Like, that would be fun.
It can't be that hard.
Just need a helicopter or two.
Yeah. And you need to don't just focus on first place. Tell me about the giant castle that you just saw. I want to know about the cathedral that we just flew over.
Yeah. Like, isn't that the worst thing about any broadcast that's Ironman related? Is it's like they don't focus on anything but maybe the top three competitors who have cameras on them. You never see anyone back in 15th or know like what they're doing. You don't get to talk about that awesome setting. Like, there's just so much they could learn from just watching the TDF, and it's probably not. You know, they're already spending money.
The other one's like fun watching F1 and just like seeing how they do all that stuff. Like, it's pretty neat because back in the day when I think it was Jared Schumacher was just crushing it, and they were always focused on first. They're like, why? Like, everyone's bored. We're losing our viewership, so they started focusing on like second, third, fourth, 20th, wherever the pass
and
is
their
happening.
Story.
Yeah, and their story. And the funny thing is, the sponsors started giving Schumacher the slower engine, I think, because he was winning by too much. And they're like, we need our sponsorships on TV. So I'm like, give me the slow engine.
That's what it's like in Formula One. So anyways, back on topic with what we want to do as pro triathletes right now. You know, we're sitting on our hands. Do you have anything, like, we've seen a lot of pro athletes do like kind of epic challenges or Scout and King of the Mountains, or they're going head to head. Do you have any of that going on, or you just like want to be your own bubble?
I like my own little bubble. Like, that's part of the reason it was weird too, because with all the virtual racing, it went from no racing to too much racing in my mind. Like, I find I can't race like every weekend. I'm very much like, let's keep building the building blocks and then smash a day kind of deal when it comes. So that was definitely I don't really have any big challenges. Like, to be honest, I've just picked up a ton of hobbies. Like, I paint little miniature dudes because that's what I did as a kid. And I was like, man, I feel like painting my little Warhammers.
So Jackson, send us some pictures of that so we can promote that on Instagram.
Exactly. Yeah. I actually have an Instagram account for that. It's QTR_40K.
You're like 40-year-old version on the opening scene. Yeah, it's like, exactly. Now your pants are blue.
Yes. Like, I used to be blue. Now they're purple. Oh, man. So, yeah, just stuff like that. Like, I'm just like, I might as well do what I want to do, like, and then train on top of it.
Yeah, not to mention this Java segments around here. Like, I don't know what the hell goes down in the U.S., but like, probably like Rattlesnake Hill has the most ridiculous Java segments. Probably the most iconic climb in all of Ontario.
Pretty much,
and it's like we went all out on it, and we were like 100th. It was ridiculous.
Yeah,
you're not gonna be able to touch that.
I'm sorry. No triathlete, I'm sorry right now, you can come try to prove me wrong, no triathlete in the world can get that time.
Yeah, it's like, it's disgusting. Sam Wong's getting a flight, he's booking a ticket right now.
Yeah. I hope he is, man.
We're not letting anybody in this country, especially you Americans with all your crazy diseases.
All of our snotty noses and leaky bowels.
Yeah.
Fast food. So that's good. I mean, that's awesome. You've been able to find some new friends in the figurine world.
Yeah, exactly. You got to have your imaginary friends.
So what do you think, Taylor, for a late season? Like, we're just talking about how Traverse City just got canceled. Boulder just got canceled.
That sucks.
Lubbock was canceled. Like, do you think Chattanooga is just the next one on the chopping block? And
I'm hoping not, but I think so. Like, though, a good thing, I got an email a couple of days ago from Challenge, and it said Challenge Davos is a green light. So that's in Europe, obviously, so different than the U.S.
What country?
Switzerland, I think.
Okay.
It's Swiss, but I'm not sure. Like, the problem is I'm not flying over there to fight a million European pros. No thanks.
Yeah.
But, that sucks for Traverse City. I was holding out for that one a little bit because I wanted to go and try
you
and
drive. W.
Yeah, exactly. I can drive to it. I think I really hope that we get something, but it's just out of our control. So maybe I'll take another extra week off so that I can be fit for December, not September.
I'd rather they just sort of like, you know what? This whole season's done. We're not doing anything. Just let it go.
Yeah.
I wish that would happen because some of the problem, I think, and we talked about this earlier, Taylor, was that races are like given this big green light and everyone's pumped and then you show up and rack your bike and then they're like, oh, we're racing 3 days. No, we're not. We're done. Like, it's just governments.
That was Texas, wasn't it?
Yeah, it just happened.
They just pulled the plug. We might get a couple of like underground local stuff that like just like literally it's like me, Jackson, Cody are like, let's get together, like, oh, we're gonna go race like in Guelph Lake or something like that. So that
why
might
not?
Be nice. Yeah,
there's enough of you mofos up there to like have a pretty fun showing. You can get like a drone footage every so often.
So I think like that's been on our block, and like the club I've been with has been talking about like doing just small stuff. So we'll see what happens. But I hope September. Like, to be honest, even if China opens, I'd get on a plane and race in China.
I'm signed up for that one, like, since 6 months ago.
Yeah.
I was like, they're the first ones to get shut down. They'll be the first ones to open back up.
Just got to go there 2 weeks before because they're going to quarantine you hard for 2 weeks, and you got to quarantine. So it's like a month in your life for one race, sort of like worth it. 100% worth it.
But they probably want to, like, prove that they're all good for COVID. And they'll be like, we'll pay all your expenses.
Jackpot.
I actually emailed Sally and I never heard back, so I don't know if she still works. She was like the pro coordinator.
I remember her. I think I met her a couple of times.
I was like, let me know. Are we get a race in China? Can you tell me?
Give me the inside scoop. All the China medias are like now pinned on your social media.
Well, I don't know. You guys need to put on your own grassroots race, film it, and have fun. And I'll try to do the same thing here. Well, all the pros in every state need to just get together in the same province.
Well, it'd be great if if the PTO could come together and be like, okay, let's try to make some like small pro races, like just for each country kind of thing, or each, you know, there could be like three in the states or something. And then that way it's like people aren't trying to travel around the world. They can, you know, go by the local guidelines and like not have an event with 1,000 people. Be like, okay, there's 20 pros, there's, you know, a five-person media crew, a five-person setup crew or something. I don't know. I mean, it's tough because, like, the PTO can't just, like, shell out all kinds of money resources and stuff. But, like, if you assign pros to be the ones to organize the races and you just kind of, like, help guide them, it could be possible. But it's so hard to, like...
The thing, too, is there's a media void. So it's, like, if we could actually capitalize on... There is no basketball. There is no football. Like, it's not, we're not going to exactly translate all those people into watching triathlon, but if we can sort of be the spotlight, like, it was like, oh, when Miranda Carfrey's trainer got unplugged, that was on national news for Canada. Like, I was literally sitting in my parents' like house and I was listening. I'm like, oh, there was this virtual triathlon. I'm like, oh, great, they're going to talk about some age grouper. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're talking about. Yeah, exactly. It's like, that's awesome. Oh, well. Maybe when there's no other sports. Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, let me get talking. More attention.
That's what's going to do it. We're going to need a huge amount of drama. Like, we've got to create some really crazy, like, let's have a fight. Like,
you
and Jackson and Cody have a battle royale in someone's basement, and let's just broadcast it and see what happens. Triathlete to Fight Club.
Yeah, exactly. Beyond featherweight. If you're over 160 pounds, you're not allowed to show up.
Well, shoot, I think we got to wrap this up. But man, Taylor, thanks for coming on. We love getting perspectives of other pro athletes around the old globe. And I'm jealous that you all get to train together, by the way. I've got some good training partners here, but we all have such a good time together. That's like, I really miss that more than anything.
Man, yeah, I gotta get you up here. We gotta just say you're related to me or something. We'll figure something
out. Well, just get a visa.
You're driving
man.
To Alaska.
Say you're driving in a barrel. I'll get shipped in a barrel.
Yeah, I just don't go over Niagara Falls. That's not a good idea.
It's not 105 degrees here right now. It's like 75, 80. So
it's
so hot, man.
Well, fine. Well, we're looking forward to getting back after it. We do have to answer one thing before we get on out of here, and that's our weekly random Facebook question. And Taylor, you can jump on this with us. The question is, let me see. Okay. This said question asker, what do I wear on a brick session? I'm a bit self-conscious about it all. Do I wear A, running gear on the bike and run in that, or B, cycling gear and run in that, or C, a tri-suit? ? Thank you. What do you think, fellas?
Well, Simon Whitfield wears a cycling kit. That's all I'm going to say. Period.
for every brick?
yeah, man. So when we do bricks, he wears a cycling kit.
Okay. Just likes the old thigh chafage.
Yep.
I think the old, you know, two-piece kind of tri-suit that's not super racy. You know, it's got some pockets. It's not the bib shorts. It's just like the tri-shorts. I think that's the optimal for brick. And, you know, the one without sleeves maybe to be a little bit more aero.
So you get a nice burn?
Sunscreen. But, you know, I definitely wouldn't wear run gear because that's just not comfortable on a saddle. Either the tri-suit, or if you don't have a good, like, two-piece tri-suit that's comfortable, I would go with the cycling kit probably.
Well, with the cycling kit, you can take the jersey off and either just run straight bib shorts and look like a wrestler, or also take them off and just roll them and tuck. And then it's just like,
Well, technically, with bibs, you have a top and a bottom, because as long as it covers the nipples, it is considered a top.
Yeah. There you go. Yes.
You have to wear the straps if you want it to be considered a top. And you have to commit. If you're going to wear bibs on a run, you better commit and wear the straps up. Don't tuck those in. Don't you dare tuck those in.
As hard as you can and look like you're beasting it.
Nice.
But the bottom line, best answer is think about what you're going to be doing. You're going to be sweating. Yeah. You're going to have fluids everywhere. You're not going to want anything baggy. You're not going to want to have to change if you're worried about transition times. You want a one-piece or a two-piece tri-kit. Yeah. That's the way to do her. Especially, right, because a brick is supposed to simulate a race. You're probably going to race in that, and you want to see if you got any unnatural chafing. Like, all of a sudden, your knee pit has, like, a bloody hole in it from, like, your kit driving in you.
too many experiences.
Oh, yeah, or your armpits are, like, totally destroyed by the swim, like, because you wore your long-sleeve tri-kit under your wetsuit, and it just decided to put third degree burns on the inside there from
swimming. So surprise scars. Those surprise scars around like your armpits are the worst.
The wetsuit hickey is the worst. I get that almost every time. I put Tri-Glide, Body Glide, but after like the salt water gets in there, man, I just got I got a divot, man.
Yeah. Stride doesn't keep carving.
I just got the Zoka Tri short, and it was like super comfy. I'm on back onto the two piece bandwagon for training purposes because then one piece is annoying too. If you gotta like quickly hit the porta potty for the / woods for the brick session, you don't want a one piece. Like
two pieces that
your brick session's over when that happens anyway.
No, it begins. You gotta drop. Wait, it's a brick session because you went to the woods and you drop a brick. That's why it's a brick session. Oh, and on that tremendous note, we must end the show. So, Taylor, we're going to give you the opportunity to give us our have you listened to any of our shows?
The Peace Oot?
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yes, hell yeah.
You got it. You're going to do it. So, from Utah and from Guelph, Ontario, this is the Real Triathlon Podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with a new episode from the final Zwift race of Jackson's hopeful career, because he wants to really race in person. Hopefully he gets up in that fifth place. And Taylor, take us on out of here.
Peace out.
Nice.
I got ish to do, flying through the sky in my parachute, dancing on the couch like I'm Tommy Cruise on a one-man mission trying to see it through.